Hello, lovely listeners. On this special episode of the DPR SpoilerCast, we do a deep dive into Avengers Endgame. The following episode will have spoilers a-flying, so be forewarned. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up, I'm Joey.
And I'm Rob, and we will skip what we've been playing and go right into our impressions of Avengers and Endgame. I was about to say End War. Avengers Endgame.
I mean, not wrong.
No? Well, I was looking at my Avengers Infinity War and Endgame posters, and they just kind of like blurred together.
It was Infinity War Part 2 at one point, right? Or did I just make that up?
Yeah, it was Infinity. Yeah. It was supposed to be Infinity War Part 1 and then Part 2.
Gotcha.
But they changed it because at the time, like, Part 1 and Part 2, like, finales were doing really, really well. Well, not really doing really, really well. It was just Harry Potter. And then after that...
Everybody had Part 2.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Part 1 and Part 2, and, like, they started to do poorly. Like, The Hunger Games won, and then there was one for something else, too.
I love how people think that is the Part 1 and Part 2, not just because those Part 2s weren't good. But that's a whole another podcast.
That's true. Well, because, like, those movies, like, with, like... Yeah, I might as well screw it, whatever. Like, with the Harry Potter one, everyone says, like, the second half is better. Part 2 is better. Deathly Hallows is better than the first half, or Part 1. Just because the Part 1's, like, setting up a lot of stuff, and it's not much...
The big setup for
action.
It, yeah.
Yeah. But that is hardly the case with the Avengers movies. Like, they're pretty complete independently of each other.
So. For sure.
But anyway, let's go into impressions.
Anyone can start here. Aha. it's not me this time.
So basically, I'm leaving the floor open because I don't want to start.
You open your mouth first. Ah. Jose, take it away.
Mm-hmm. That's how that works.
Fine. You know, at first, I actually thought that we were going to... It would have been pretty cool if, you know, there was what we've been playing there with an Avengers game. That would have been pretty cool. But, moving on. Wow. With Endgame. I'm just totally impressed that actually everything worked the way I wanted it to work, and I was pretty fulfilled with everything from Endgame. The Russo brothers did a very, very good job concluding the Infinity Saga. That's what they're calling it, the Infinity Saga. They did a real good job spanning the 22 movies, and to me, this was like a moment in time, and you know, like one of those big events. This is like this generation Star Wars, in that sense. And yeah, everything just felt right. Like, I couldn't stop grinning, smiling. My second showing, I actually teared up during the final fight. Like, it's everything just hit right on so many levels, and yeah, they just did so well. Like, I can't really stop like commending this movie. They did so well. This is a unique situation in terms of how something like this was actually conceived and made, and this everything, this the battle scenes, like this movie didn't really have to, like, the payoff was just so big at the end there. That final hour was just so big, and even before that, everything was paced right. Like, the movie was 3 hours, and the movie did not feel like it was 3 hours at all. During the middle of the movie, I was like, I want more, I want more, I want more. By the end of the movie, I was like, wow, this completely outdid itself, and I don't want to watch any other movie now, or any other movie won't feel like this. So this is my general, like, overall opinion without, like, going too much into it, I guess. Like, going, like, too deep into it. But yeah, this movie was huge. Was, like, just unlike anything I've seen in pacing. And I actually think that Infinity War is a tighter movie, but the payoff from all the 22 movies and Endgame to me is, like, in its own, like, I would place Endgame in my Marvel, like, top Marvel movie list. I would actually place it at the top overarching other movies, if that makes any sense. Like, it's so unique in that sense that I don't even know where to actually put it in my top list. Usually Winter Soldier is at the top, but this actually trumps Winter Soldier in that sense. And it's a very weird, in a good way, very weird place where I would put this movie. It just does so many things right. Like I said, the pacing, like, I wanted more, like, in the middle of the movie, by the end of it, I was like, wow, I'm never going to see another movie. It's like when you, have you ever got this feeling when you guys complete, like, this game that's so good, and then when you go ahead and try to play something else after you beat that game, and you're like, I don't even want to play this anymore. Like, why do I have to play this? Like,
I have, like, a pro strategy for that. Don't play a game in a similar genre, and then you'll be perfectly fine. That's how I felt after, like, The Witcher 3. I tried to play another, you know, character action RPG. Wasn't having it. So I just played something entirely different and then went back to, you know, the similar game after, and, like, it was fine. I get what you're saying, but, like, I mean, if you went in to see another superhero movie right after this, like Dark Phoenix, like, that's gonna, I mean, there's a chance it wasn't gonna be good anyway.
Dark Phoenix has its own problems.
Yes, but add on the whole Endgame, you know, in everybody's mind right now, and it's even that much worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty much that what I feel. Like, I feel complete. This is how good this movie was. I just feel very, very complete. Just with everything that the Russos brought to the table. And I would want 3 more hours. You know, if they could, like, single-handedly make 3 more hours, I would be down for it. So, but that's just my general, like impressions there, like, without even going too deep into everything there. So what did you guys, like, think, like, after just seeing this monstrosity of a movie?
I guess I can go next. I think I'm kind of an outlier because I've enjoyed a lot of Marvel movies, but I've not enjoyed a lot of Marvel movies as well. But I think Endgame was, like, the perfect way you could ever wish to end such, like, a saga as they did. I feel like, I mean, personally, some of the other movies, like, the comedic timing just didn't land at all, and it, like, started to reach in that cringe territory, where it was, like, perfect here. It wasn't as prominent, because, I mean, Endgame, in general, was just more of a serious movie. But I feel like they had a good mix of, like, those serious moments with slightly, you know, whether it's a callback or, you know, mini jokes versus, like, kind of waiting for the audience to laugh and then continuing, which I felt like in, you know, Guardians movies, even in Captain Marvel, I felt like they pushed too much on the nostalgia, where, I mean, there were scenes here that definitely did that, but they did it with such care. Like, I couldn't imagine a better way they could have made Endgame, to be honest. And it would definitely be probably, if it's not my favorite, maybe, like, top 2 or 3. They were just that solid with, like, pretty much all the characters. I only had an issue with one character. I mean, we can get to that a little bit later. But for, like, the core story they were telling, you know, with, like, Iron Man, Captain America, and so on, I mean, they did an amazing job.
Yeah, they
it's hard to, like... I mean, there's really nothing like it, you know what I mean? Because everybody's been so invested in these characters for so long. There were countless ways they could have easily screwed it up, and they managed not to, which is like a, you know, a huge thing in itself. But then they actually made like a really good movie on top of it, which was nice. It was a lot more, I guess, touching than I thought it would be. I mean, this is of course spoiler cast, so I guess we don't have to like dance around it. But like, it was kind of obvious who was gonna die and who wasn't.
Really? I honestly thought that that it was gonna be Captain America dying. Like, I always had it already, like, in my mind. Cap is my favorite mm-hmm. character, you know, throughout the movies, and I already had it in my mind saying, you know, he's the one that's gonna go because his arc is already, you know, it's already finished in that sense.
Went from beginning to end, quote unquote. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not like a bad thing when I say like you can tell, but like just how happy what's his name? Why can't I
think? Tony Stark?
Iron Man. Yes. Just how happy he was. You could tell it wasn't gonna stay throughout the entire movie. Because it was too perfect for like that timeline he was in, you know what I mean? Again, not like it's a bad thing. They actually did a really good job of foreshadowing that stuff. Kind of similar to Hawkeye. You kind of got to see his family and how close he was to his family. So there's a good inclination that he wasn't going to die, because one thing that Marvel movies do better than DC movies, even though I generally do, like, I'll fight for like any DC movie outside of Suicide Squad. But like in a DC movie, his family would have died and then he would have had to deal with that, you know, for the end of the movie. There's no like payoff for the characters. They're not rounded. They're just like, hey, life sucks, deal with it. Whereas Marvel movies, they always have like a silver lining. And I think that's what Endgame did extremely well. Yeah, we saw characters' deaths, but they all died for a reason. They didn't get sucked up in a tornado or whatever happened in Man of Steel or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, that was
or get killed. Jimmy Olsen, he was like a side character, like nobody even knew, you know what I mean? But yeah, they just do such a good job of creating well-rounded characters where if they just died, like say if Tony Stark did just die and like, hey, you know, that sucks, that's war, like it would be to the detriment of all the fans that have, you know, been with the series for so long. And I feel like everybody at Marvel knows that, so they give each character kind of a proper send-off to whether they live or die. So
well,
it's gonna be hard to touch if anybody, even if they could touch it, because it's just they did it so well. There was no glaring issue like throughout the 3 hours, and like you were saying, it went by fast. I never once was like, man, you know, how much more do we have left? Like, it was fast. I'm really.
Yeah, and I saw the movie. I saw the movie twice already, and the first time, like, you know, it was more, I guess, more spectacle. Like, you know, just finally seeing it, finally being there in the seat. Sure. The second time, I thought it was still paced so well. There was just so much attention to detail mm-hmm. in yep. pretty much almost every scene. There was attention to detail with. Let's see, like Hawkeye and Black Widow. I actually find that story pretty interesting on Hawkeye and Black Widow there, when, you know, the Soul Stone, when they were were trying to go get the Soul Stone, hmm. and like I kind of felt for Black Widow in that sense, because there was a moment there, and this was you know, once they showed them 5 years later from them actually killing Thanos again, there was a moment there where I was like actually feeling bad for Black Widow, because she was like literally like torn, like she couldn't do anything, like she was trying to do anything, and I really felt for her, because like Scarlett Johansson just hit like all the right notes. Like, Black Widow is really such a character that is not emotionally, I guess, her decisions are not emotionally based, but they always end off being that way. Like, she always does the right things. And that showed in Civil War, as well. You know, where she, helped, Cap, even though she wasn't on his side at first. And yeah. seeing more of that interplay there, where she started just pretty much crying, where she found out Hawkeye was, you know, murdering people.
Time out real quick.
What happened?
Let's come back to that scene. We'll get, Rob's thoughts overall, and then we can come back to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is a pretty big one for like a lot of characters. So, we can definitely talk about that a lot more. Mm-hmm. Take it away. Rob.
Yes. I mean, yeah, so I enjoyed it overall. A lot. The movie did go by quickly. Like, there wasn't really any, the pacing was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like y'all have said, there wasn't any moments where I'm like, ugh, okay. Or just like getting like, not annoyed, but kind of like getting antsy about like them knowing that they're going to set up certain pieces and it taking a little while. Kind of like with the first Avengers, like having to rewatch that now is difficult because it's really slow until they actually get together as a team. But yeah, the endgame was paced fantastically. I had to pee like 30 minutes into the movie. and I think the only reason I had to pee is because it was in my head.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. cause like everyone was like, you know, make sure you pee beforehand, you know, or don't drink any drinks beforehand. And so I think that thought was in my head. So it was like, I had to go. But like, yeah, I mean, everything was worked out really well. And I know this tends to be a slight for directors, like, but the fact that Marvel got directors that were very proficient with directing television episodes helps out with a massive ensemble like this, because that way you can do multiple, like, they know how to do like multiple stories and have them interweave right.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, the Russos did episodes of Arrested Development and Community, yeah. And like they were like, they knew how to handle an ensemble, and it worked out fantastically. Like, everyone, there are a few things I feel like could be tweaked, but like everyone had like their character arcs, everyone had like their moments to shine, and it wasn't like heavily skewing one way or another. There were a few characters underutilized in Infinity War. Like, Cap was definitely one of them that, like, underutilized in Infinity War.
Definitely.
But, like, he got, like, a good chunk of, like, an arc in Endgame. Obviously, Hawkeye wasn't in Infinity War, but he got, like, a good mm-hmm. portion as well. So, like, everything worked out well. Without going too far into it, I got exactly what I wanted in the last act of the movie. It is something that I've wanted since the beginning. And I got it in spades. And I got a little extra something as well. And honestly, I could have just seen those 10 minutes and just been completely fine. I didn't have to watch the rest of the movie. I didn't have to watch the first few hours and didn't have to watch the ending. Like, those 10 minutes are all that I needed. So yeah, it was a fantastic, fantastic movie. I don't know if I'll see it in theaters again. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe when it like calms down a little bit and like I can see it like during the week. But no, at the rate it's going in terms of box office, that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen.
Yeah, it's definitely all right. it's definitely huge. Like, my second showing, which was earlier today, was parking lot was full. Majority of the shows were sold out. It's, yeah, it was crazy. It's again, definitely a big cinematic moment, in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, since we got that out the way, since we got all the impressions, just the general impressions out the way. Now I'm going to go back to the Hawkeye and, the, Black yeah. Widow, just moment in general. You know, I thought it was just very, like I said, Black Widow is usually always geared towards doing the right things, even though the right things at the, I guess, in the nick of time. And I thought her story and the way she portrayed Black Widow in this movie, I really felt for her character, just in the terms that she wanted to make everything right. And the moment that gets me with Widow is when, you know, after they killed Thanos, literally 20 minutes into the movie.
Which was one of those moments where I was like, holy shit. Especially since, like, he was, like, super weakened, and I felt like that was kind of, like, a little bit disappointing if that was where it was going to end with, like, Thanos. And it was just kind of like, they chop his head off, and then that's it.
I mean, they pretty much wanted, I think the Russos, like, wanted to do that, just to show that the fight really wasn't against Thanos at that moment in time. The fight, or the story, pretty much leads into how they could get the snap undone. So, right. I guess you could call it a cop out, or probably you could call it a
more of a red herring.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah. In that sense, because it's like, okay, so Thanos is now dead in the first 20 minutes. What now? But it definitely made for a fun time just in general. But going back to Widow, after that scene where they did kill Thanos there. 20 minutes in, they actually, you know, flipped the script and then showed us that our hero is 5 years later. And Black Widow was pretty much being kind of like Nick Fury in that sense of, you know, just securing, I guess, all sectors of the universe in that sense, because she had Captain Marvel.
I don't know if it was throughout the universe. I think it was just through Earth. But, like, she did get... she did have, like, Captain Marvel as a counterpoint, just in case something, I guess, was coming close to her.
Yeah.
Because everyone else was from Earth, so I don't think it was necessarily throughout the universe. I think it was just Earth and, like, the immediate vicinity.
Well, she had a team, and she kind of... Like, to me, she kind of, like, became Nick Fury at that point when I saw all that happen. Like, wow, like, she's really, like, trying to be better, or trying to lead in that sense. And right after that scene where Rhodey tells her about, you know, just mass killings in Japan, and it's actually Hawkeye, and, you know...
Well, no, I think he tells her... about the mass killings in Mexico.
Yes, in Mexico first. Yes, and yes, that, yes. Yeah. In Mexico first.
And then
they talk about Hawkeye. In that sense. They talk about Hawkeye, and pretty much, like, she gets distraught because he turns into this monster. In that sense. And yeah, like, that scene to me, like, when she started crying, and then Captain America came in, and, you know, she pretty much just broke down. Like, to me, that was a moment there where, like, this character is very, very strong. And to see her break down like that, and to see it done so well, like, I actually was very, very impressed. Like, she showed that range. And then that leads into the them going into Vomir for the Soul Stone. And, you know, having to make the sacrifice, her or Hawkeye. So that leads into that, and, you know, knowing her character, what her character has been through pretty much all the movies, and what we've seen her go through, and her making that choice, I totally understood, like, why she did it and what her motivations were, and this was pretty much it for that character. And it's so weird, because I'm like, okay, I know, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, is Hawkeye really gonna do this? But just looking back at all the evidence there, Black Widow was the one to do that, and that's just her character. That's just who she is. especially after the snap, and her wanting to undo it and doing whatever it takes to actually get that done. So she knew what she had to put up, and I was actually very, very impressed how Scarlett Johansson actually handled the role and the way she played Black Widow and how it moved across all movies. So I was definitely impressed with Black Widow's arc, and I know her and the Hulk were definitely, there was chemistry going on there in Age of Ultron, but it didn't fully capitalize. But again, I thought her conclusion of her story was definitely, it was definitely great on just how it was played through, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really care about Black Widow until this movie. I just didn't think she was that interesting whatsoever. It might just be because the characters around her were done so extremely well. Hers just kind of felt lackluster. But like you were saying, I do feel like they kind of upped the stakes for her, and it like kind of forced her to kind of move in a direction where she didn't necessarily want to go early on, but now she kind of fills that void. Going back to the Soul Stone scene, I liked the scene, but I felt like it just played out a little bit too long. My best explanation is, like, when you're playing Uncharted and you know, like, every other brick you grab is gonna fall, it felt like that. Like, they kept fighting over who it was going to be, you know what I mean? And then it just, personally, it felt like it kind of took some of the power out of the scene, because, I mean, yeah, you didn't know who was going to do it, but they kept switching back and forth probably like 4 or 5 times until she eventually did, you know, fall to her death so they could get the Soul Stone. It's a tiny nitpick over, you know, an amazing movie, so it's not like it was that big a deal. It just felt like it kind of stuck around a little bit too long for me.
No, I agree.
I agree with that. But I don't know if it was because I kind of got spoiled on the fact that Widow would die, kind of indirectly. Mm. I had mentioned that to a friend that I was going to see the movie with, and he had already seen like some of the spoilers, that they were going to make a Black Widow movie. And then he just kind of went, huh. And at that point, I knew Widow was going to die.
Yeah.
And, like, because the Black Widow movie is supposed to be a prequel. But, like, at that point, I knew Widow was going to die. So that kind of deflated the tension for me. But I agree that it kind of went on too long with them, like, you know, trying to go back and forth.
Right.
But someone, like, I did see a point made online about it, was the Soul Stone appears to someone who, you know, you sacrifice a soul for the Soul Stone. But if either one had given themselves up willingly, like, because, like, Widow, like, just, you know, went for it. She was about to jump, and then, you know, they kind of got into the back and forth where they were each going to do it. That might not have gotten them the Soul Stone. Like, they actually, like, because at the end, Hawkeye actually had to let Black Widow go, like, actually physically let her go. And I think that help them get the stone. But I agree, it kind of went on a little bit too long. I think if they had just cut down just a smidge, it would have worked a little bit better.
Yeah, it all could have like ended the same way if they just cut out a little bit of the back and just a tiny bit of the back and forth inside.
Yeah, just like, you know, once or twice, and then and then just cut to the over the edge.
Well, they should have cut off the part there where they were thinking about it, and just pretty much the part that they were thinking about it. Once they heard it, like, pretty much once they heard what they had to do, they should have went straight into the scene there where he shot the arrow to her. They should have just went for it right there.
She was running toward
the engine. Because people already knew. Like, people already already knew.
That's the thing. And the audience knew.
Yeah, the audience already knew. And when Ant-Man said, not it, like, people already, like, you know. We already knew what was going on.
Wait, Ant-Man said not.
Yes, he did. But when they were
when they're deciding where each person's gonna go,
I remember him saying not it, but I don't remember it was in regards to that or not.
Yeah, so when they were told about the death planet, he was like, not it. And
Yeah, Man is low key like one of my favorite characters. Like in this,
yes, he's definitely MVP. And I got that
Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is great in anything Paul Rudd does.
Right? He's just so, his comedic timing is just perfect.
Yeah, like even like in Ant-Man and Wasp, like the parts I enjoyed were like him being, were actually him and his daughter just interacting. Like those were like the best parts. Him and his daughter, and then him and Randall Park. Like their back and forth were always great.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to like the Hawkeye and Black Widow thing, I know there was history and they've kind of hinted at it, but for me, it kind of felt like they needed to get into the history a little bit more between the two. But I'm hoping like the Black Widow movie kind of gets into whatever happened at Budapest that they keep referencing,
right? Right.
And then kind of shows like how they got to. Together, I don't know. You know what I mean.
Well,
like,
teammates,
have Hawkeye,
pretty much.
Black Widow,
yeah. Pretty much teammate mentality and family mentality in that sense. And
I mean, especially since everybody else was so fleshed out, you know, like we don't really know anything.
Well,
about her.
Well, here's the thing. Like,
well, I guess that's kind of by design because she was kind of like a secret agent.
It is.
And then her past is supposed to be mysterious, but it's kind of like
it kind of like takes some of the power away from that moment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, but they also
still good. Honestly,
yeah, but they also. I know. A lot of people were saying like, why didn't Widow get a funeral? And the character again, by design, I mean, her character is an agent that no one knew about. Like, she's not gonna.
Well, especially compared to like Tony Stark, who was like literally like a big name in like the Marvel universe, like in the actual like movies universe, like he was a big name. Stark Industries was a big name. Mm-hmm. So of course he was going to have a funeral. Natasha was just a secret agent. And you know, that's kind of like where most of her life was. So, I mean, clearly like the Avengers themselves, like the original six mourned her.
Yeah. Yeah. They mourned. Yeah. Five. The original. Yeah. Yeah. But the original five did mourn her and they did show that scene there. So that's definitely, you know, that was definitely her like, conclusion, that was her goodbye. In that sense.
It was certainly enough for that type of character.
Yes, for sure. And just going back to just like the way like pretty much how, you know, they got the plan there for all the stones there, they pretty much pulled what they call the time heist. In that sense. And you know, they had to get the band back together in that sense. What did you guys think about Fat Thor?
It was funny, but it wasn't that funny.
I kind of like with the Black Widow thing, I kind of felt like it dragged on a little bit too long.
Exactly.
And I was kind of hoping, like, at the very end of the movie, like, obviously he can't, like, shed his fat right away, but I thought he would actually try to, like, physically show that he's changed, I guess.
I mean, here's the thing.
He was pretty much the Big Lebowski at the end.
Yeah, yes. No. But, but here's the thing with Thor's new appearance, though. I felt like Thor was pretty much mentally, he was more broken than physically. Mentally, he was completely more broken mentally, and by the end of the movie he finally got it back together enough where he just, you know, just had enough of this like shit and just wanted to go ahead and finish the job pretty much, because, you know, through the movie he had some postpartum depression there, like pretty much,
well,
this
not postpartum but yeah, PTSD.
Yes, PTSD.
Kind of like
PTSD. Yes, kind of like PTSD. Yeah, yeah. Yes, there we go.
He wasn't pregnant.
That's the one.
Or was he?
I mean, it's true.
It looked like it, man.
Yeah. Like, he definitely was emotionally wrecked, mentally wrecked. Like, he pretty much was wrecked. And, like, you could tell, like, you know, it was funny for a bit there, like the jokes that they were slinging at him and all that stuff. But you could tell, like, he did a great job, and I actually liked just Thor's conclusion. In that sense, you know, we got the hammer back, Mjolnir back, for
no, yes and no. Because it went back in time.
Him seeing his mother again too, and his mother knew who he was as well. So
yeah, that scene, like I'm glad that Renee Russo got kind of like a, not like a farewell, but she got like a good scene with mm-hmm. Thor, and I thought that was fantastic. I loved seeing Renee Russo come back. There was like a few like cameos I didn't really think that they would kind of bring in, and
well, everybody came back.
Just about everyone came back.
Even the kid from Iron Man 3.
Natalie Portman didn't come back, actually.
Yeah, I'd actually look that up.
that Natalie Portman scene was like a deleted scene.
Yeah, apparently all she did was like record some audio and that was it. Like, she didn't film anything. And of course, no Hugo Weaving, but apparently he didn't like being in makeup. The Renee Russo scene was great. Thor brings Mjolnir with him to the present time. The time shenanigans, like, kind of got to me a little bit.
Same.
I know the whole point was to steal the stones and then bring them back.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been fine with that, like, if it went without a hitch. Like, you know, they went back, you know, they got the Tesseract, they got the Scepter, like, the Aether, like, everything went out without a hitch. But they kept fucking up the time stream, except for, like, they kept constantly fucked up the time stream. Like, every instance, they fucked up the time
stream. Well, the only one where they actually got it was the Scepter. But
It still got fucked up because Cap fought Cap.
Fought Cap, yeah.
I'm gonna say real quick, like one of the funniest lines is Ant-Man saying that's America's
ass.
Mm-hmm. and even Steve saying that it's America's ass. It bothered me so much that they fucked with time shenanigans. There's time shenanigans, and it bothered me. Like,
it didn't bother me.
Okay, I'm obviously over exaggerating because it didn't bother me that much, but it was still one of those things. That kind of, like, stuck with me.
Yeah. Quick aside, never watch The Flash on CW, if that bothered you.
Yeah, they do it all the time. All the time.
Okay, we can continue.
The problem is, like, whenever, a movie or show sets up rules...
Mm-hmm. And then...
And they don't follow those rules.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but they follow them. They did follow the rules. They did follow them. So how it works is that the Infinity Stones are pretty much the flow of time. So once one Infinity Stone is taken away from that timeline, is predicted to create an alternate reality. So let's say if all those stones weren't returned, it would have created an alternate timeline, and that's pretty much it. Like the stones pretty much just flow in time. That's it. That's all that needs to be done. Like pretty much they could bring back anything they want from the past. Well, we don't know yet to the extent because they did return the hammer. They did return Mjolnir. They didn't return. Oh. Okay, so they didn't return the glove that Hawkeye got. Did you guys see that?
The glove?
Yeah, when Hawkeye went for the test run, he came with the glove back to the recent timeline. To the main timeline.
I don't remember that. I'm having a hard time remembering that. I remember Hawkeye doing the test run, but I don't remember what he did.
Well, he heard his daughter calling. He called out for his daughter, I believe. It was him calling out for his daughter.
And then she ran down the steps.
Okay, yeah. He went back to his own time.
He bought back the baseball glove. That's the only thing that they did not return. So that, since they didn't return that, if I'm correct, there's another timeline completely similar to ours. to the main MCU, that it doesn't have that glove in it. And that's how it works.
Well, because like another,
so it's another instance
thing about that. Another a thing I have a problem with that is when they went back to the Avengers 1, the Battle for New York, Battle of New York. Loki got away with the Tesseract.
Oh yes, that's another timeline. So that is another timeline.
Clearly, that's meant so that they can set up the Loki
show. Yes. Clearly, it was that.
But like, it's stuff like that that's kind of like they went back in time and fucked up shit even worse.
No. But that's again, that's another.
I know that's a separate thing, but it's still it. I think it would have bothered me less if they were just like if they don't mention the time travel shenanigans and just went back in time, did what they had to, and then come back. And then say something later, like we'll put the stones back. But the fact that I don't know, like I mean I'm obviously like thinking about it way too much because like I said, it didn't really bother me too much, and I'm only bringing it up now because we're bringing it up.
So there's two. So currently, like just going back and just referencing those, the glove timeline where the glove is not there, that's one. That's an alternate timeline. Loki escaping, that's another timeline, that exists. That's an alternate reality that does exist.
Different branch.
A different branch. Now, the timeline from... There's another one as well.
There's several.
There's about five. And I can't pinpoint them exactly at the moment, but there's about five different timelines that are there.
Those two... I guess, relatively speaking, whenever Thor and Rocket went back to get the ether, nothing really changed there. Assumingly, they got ether back where it needs to.
Well, they got Mjolnir back, so that's.
Well, yeah, they got Mjolnir back, but Mjolnir went back to that time, so that's fine. Then again, there's a whole issue with 2014 Thanos going into the future. And then getting dusted in the future. That's another timeline altogether.
But I think he just got erased. I think he just got completely erased.
Well, I mean, like, he was obviously dusted like everyone else, and everyone remembered those who were dusted. But either way, he doesn't exist in 2014 anymore.
Correct.
So that's another timeline,
yes. And also also Cap, at the end of the movie is another timeline.
Well, that's actually one of the things that I heard a lot of people theorizing was that he was actually Peggy's secret husband this whole time. Because apparently, like in the Agent Carter series, like she had mentioned, like she was married, but they never showed her husband. And when Tony and Steve went back in time to the 70s?
Yes, it was the 70s.
60s.
Mm-hmm.
She had a picture of Cap on her desk.
Yes.
Steve Rogers on her desk.
Steve Rogers, yeah.
So there's heavy indication that maybe they were secretly married, and so that was still part of the timeline. Allegedly. I mean, it's just all a fan theory.
I mean, so like allegedly speaking, so that would technically be another timeline. So there would be five timelines in the whole MCU, in the Marvel in the MCU, just in general. But our main timeline is again, it's 5 years later, regardless of that. And to me. I felt like it was easier to grasp than other movies, just with the whole time situation. And again, don't watch the Flash. Flash really, really does some things.
If you want to see people mess up the timeline, watch the Flash.
Yeah, and
the funny thing is, like, Back to the Future like worked for me for the most part. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and the Ancient One explained everything when they went back to New York. Oh, I thought that was pretty cool where Hulk was going to see her, and she was actually fighting. She was actually fighting, helping them out during that scene.
Yeah, that,
so that was awesome.
That was actually really cool.
That was awesome, and I wish other the Netflix stars and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. people actually got a cameo like that. That would have been awesome, but it was pretty cool seeing that she was actually helping them out during that time. So it was just in a different perspective in that sense.
I'm gonna say real quick, the two best cameos in the movie were Ken Jeong and Yvette Nicole Brown.
Oh,
the only reason I'm saying that is because they were both in Community and they were both in Endgame.
Yeah.
Danny Pudi was in Winter Soldier, and I can't remember if Joel McHale was in any of the movies because they worked with the Russos.
Yes.
I was the only person who was like, "Yay, Yvette Nicole Brown showed up," and I think I was the only person that noticed Ken Jeong because he was a security guard that. I was the only person that noticed.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because he had a fake mustache and a hat on.
I like Captain.
He didn't say
Marvel's
anything
cameo.
At all.
That was a bad.
I didn't
joke.
Actually like Go Captain on. Marvel in this movie.
I didn't actually either.
and I haven't seen a Captain Marvel movie, but I don't know. She just felt off.
Well, she was in this movie before her movie.
Yeah, I know. They filmed her scenes in Endgame before she filmed anything from Captain Marvel. I felt like they didn't really know how to use her.
Well, because she doesn't fit in with the whole group, as everybody else was with this group, for how many movies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, even then, Nebula, she got, you could feel she belonged with, Tony and interacted with all the other Avengers, and she wasn't really with them before. Even Rocket.
You know what? Yeah. And it's because of the power difference. And
power set. Yeah,
that could certainly. Yeah,
it's a power difference, and this happens with Superman as well. It's just that she's very very strong and very strong, completely ridiculously overpowered. Is what do you do with her character? In this sense, they just used her for pretty much scouting the universe and just bringing her in, I guess, for just specific parts, which worked for me. It worked because I already know how this sort of character needs to be. In this big of a movie, if they didn't do it that way, she would have got all the screen time. And again, that wouldn't be paying respect to the fans there because she's a new character. You know, this is a conclusion.
I mean, that's why I don't even think she should have played a role in this
well,
movie.
Who would have got Tony Stark?
I think...
nobody else would have got it.
I think we would have... Yeah, well, I mean, her picking up Tony was kind of... was okay. I kind of didn't like it. I was it's very Deus Ex Machina. But then again, the Guardians did, run into Thor with their ship in Infinity War. So, that was fine. But I think... what would have been better for me, in the ending, is if she just kind of came down and just started raining hellfire on, Thanos' troops without someone saying, something's entered the atmosphere. It's
she's super, it's okay. Pretty much a Superman entrance. You know, it's a bird, it's a plane.
I know.
There you go.
But, I would have preferred if she just kind of, showed up and just started kicking ass, right there.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, just boom, here she is. And that would have been okay, cool.
She's back. Agree. She just seemed like she was edited in at the last minute type of thing.
And it's a crazy.
I wasn't a huge fan of Captain Marvel. I liked her, just the surrounding movie. I just didn't think it was that great. If we're judging against other Marvel movies, you know, it was a fine movie, but when you judge it across all the other movies, it just didn't really match.
Yeah, it was just decent. That's how.
Exactly. Yeah. It was that was a. It was good, you know.
I need to rewatch that again, though. Good. Personally, I need to rewatch it and just, break it down just because it was kind of different than all the other origin stories. In that sense.
It was, but
wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. it's kind of, I saw it as their opportunity. This is Superman. This is, for me, because I already know, I guess I know Superman so well, and they would use him as pretty much a Deus Ex Machina, and just, you know, that's how it would be. So they use her correctly. It's just that you could say at some points they didn't really need her, and that's why she was doing space stuff. Yeah. And
it's like, hey, I'm just gonna go off and do kinda space stuff. I'll come back in a little while.
Yeah, I think it's like when she's like just kind of disappears.
That's what did it for me.
Yeah, because it's like she kind of like disappears for a while, and I understand, you know.
Well, they did the scene with Black Widow, like, you know.
Yeah, but they could have had, like, it would have been nice if like she was kind of there, like interacting with them.
Yes. You see, look.
She just felt distant.
Yes. Yeah. And for sure, that scene in Captain Marvel, her end credit scene, wasn't in the movie. So,
I mean, I haven't seen Captain Marvel, so I don't know what.
Okay. Yes. So the end credit scene is where she showed up. I'm gonna spoil it all because it's a spoiler cast here.
I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, like, really. So her scene. Know,
yes.
Fine with me. It's
yes.
Whatever.
So her scene. Her end credit scene is pretty much the beeper goes off, and she shows up behind the Avengers. You know, where they're in the Avengers facility.
Yep.
And, you know, she's like, where's Fury? You know, all mad pretty much because she got the beeper. She got the page. Now, that scene was not in the movie, and including a bit more about her going into that, including that scene and, you know, showing a bit more would have helped her out a bit more.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I guess changing out the scene with Hawkeye and Widow, like, you know, taking some minutes off of that and then putting it onto there, or just even just including that moment, make the movie a little bit longer and just including like 3 or 4 minutes of Captain Marvel getting all that, because it also would explain her knowing the Avengers already. And because it wasn't shown that she knew the Avengers, like we all assumed because of the end credit team.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because I guess they kind of cut it out because whenever Captain Marvel finds Tony, that's supposed to be like the big, you know, not first reveal, but kind of like, you know, showing her in an Avengers movie. So I think that's kind of why they edited it that way, or maybe like they filmed that scene and like they couldn't quite put it in Endgame, so they put it with Captain Marvel.
Well, they should have put it in. It would have helped her case, as being that Deus Ex Machina there. It would have helped her case.
Yeah, maybe
in that sense.
Yeah, or if they told the Avengers told her, like, you know, we're missing. Well, they don't even know if Tony's dusted, so who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just Captain Marvel is a bit weird. Weirdly placed, and they didn't feel like they knew what to
well,
do.
Well, she was kicking ass though. Like she,
yeah, like when she stood up to Thanos at the end was really cool. And like I like how he actually had to use the Power Stone to get her off of him. Like that was really cool.
And when they cut off his head, in the first 20 minutes, like she just like bum rushed him, grabbed him.
Oh yeah, she did bum rush him and just kind of like took him down. Not really took him down, but like kind of
held him, yeah,
incapacitated him.
Yeah, and her moment with Spider-Man was pretty cool. Like it felt very cheesy and corny, but it was cheesy and corny in a comic book sort of way.
In
a comic book sort of way, like you can see this happening in a comic book, and again, it gets me to those moments where remember Age of Ultron, the party scene. It's like those moments right there, like that moment felt like that. Like to me, that's just adding more character and more flavor, I guess, into just the interactions with everyone.
Yeah, making it more organic.
Yes. It definitely felt like that. And she definitely had the right attitude about it all. And it was just very sincere. It was just a cute moment. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a very cute moment how it was done. But again... I agree, like she was weirdly placed in there, but I kind of understand. It's kind of like Superman, and that's why I'm interested in what they're going to do with her in the future. That's exactly why I'm interested, because Marvel did so well with handling the other Avengers, now they have a character who's like Superman. So I want to see how they do it.
Yeah. No. I was like, it just, it'll be interesting to see how they handle her. Because, they've got a pretty good track record. Like, well, I guess once they've kind of figured out what her power set is and how she can scale with the rest of the team, I think that'll help out a lot.
I mean, that's one of those things, like, anytime a character's that overpowered, like, you just have to go in knowing they're gonna write some plot sequences where to make them not as powerful as they actually are, you know what I mean? It's just like Superman, same thing, always has the same issue.
Yeah. And again, she didn't
you just kind of got to go and expect
it. Yeah, and again, she didn't have that issue in this movie. It's just like, this is what they had for her to do. And I wish that scene from her movie, that end credit scene, was put in there, because it would have explained just a little bit more on how they met. And like you said, there, it seems like she didn't fit in because we didn't get to see her with the team much. So that's why she was like weirdly placed. So adding that scene definitely would have helped her case. But I thought she was awesome in terms of just power set alone. So, and Thanos being completely scared of her. So that was pretty awesome. And also during that scene, like a nod to the A-Force.
Oh,
the women Avengers.
All the female Avengers showed up together. I loved that sequence. Well, first off, I loved Scarlet Witch just like beating the shit out of Thanos.
Yeah, I'm like, more of that.
So cathartic. I loved it. Again, I didn't really like her in any previous movie, but I loved her in those couple scenes she had.
Yes.
They were awesome.
Like, it was very
wonderfully done.
No, it was very comic-like. Like, it was like everything in that final sequence was like straight off of a comic book. And she was like ripping it. Like, she, you know, throughout all the movies, she's lost her brother. And I'm kind of surprised they didn't bring him back.
Well, I mean, like, they didn't bring back anyone who died regularly. Just the people who got dusted.
Not from the snap, yeah.
And I was kind of hoping to see Quicksilver in it, but yeah. They didn't bring him back, which is fine, I guess.
Going back to the scene about the Woman Avengers team, like, the only thing I didn't like about that is I just wish it went on a little bit longer. Like, my complaint is almost always like, oh, things linger too long, you know, they should have cut it short. That should have just been a little bit longer, because I was just enjoying seeing them just like beat up on everybody. Just like, extend that like 5 minutes, I'd be stoked, you know. I get why they couldn't, because like, it's not really about them, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but still, I would have loved to see it.
Yeah, and Scarlet Witch was like destroying. Like, she was just destroying.
Like, I just love that no characters were like, you know, like scared or anything. They were just like doing their thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was just awesome to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like they basically everyone had their mission that they had to take care of.
For sure.
I admit, like, I did get a little bit giddy when Pepper showed up with her armor.
Yes.
Rescue, yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I didn't like Gwyneth Paltrow's performance in this movie, because it felt like she was like super distant and like didn't really care about anything. But yeah, when she showed up as Rescue and like she had like that sequence with Tony, kind of like it was spinning around, the camera was spinning around, and they were like shooting
the beam down. Yeah.
I was like, that's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought that was like super awesome. And okay, fine. I'm gonna say the one thing I've wanted in this movie, which is something I've wanted from the beginning, is Cap to say "Avengers Assemble." That, like, if I had just seen that, I would have been 100% okay with Endgame. I didn't have to see any of the other rest of the movie. All I had to see was him saying "Avengers Assemble," because that's one thing I really wanted. And I know it's kind of like not necessary to have like a big final battle, but I wanted a big final battle with all the Avengers. with like everyone who's ever been like a hero in the MCU.
Well, and we got it, yes, and we got it, and we got him freaking wielding Mjolnir.
Which I seriously almost yelled, fuck you, Whedon, when he did that. When he picked up Mjolnir. And, like, I'm one of the... And I understand why Whedon did that in Age of Ultron. Because it was basically a visual shorthand to show that Vision was on the up and up. Mm-hmm. And he was to be trusted. And the only way to do that is by being worthy enough to pick up Thor's hammer. I understand that. And I understand, you know, why Steve couldn't pick it up all the way, even though...
No, he could. No, he could. No.
Theory, he couldn't pick it up all the way. He picked up a little bit.
No.
And it scared Thor.
Let's get into the theory of this. How about if Steve Rogers... How about if Steve Rogers... really didn't pick it up purposely. Here's the thing, because in Endgame, Thor was like, I knew you could pick it up. He said that.
I took that as more being that he really legitimately thought he was worthy to pick it up from the beginning, not so much that he was hiding.
No.
That's the way I felt.
No. I think... Theory going into this, I think Captain America just didn't pick it up because he didn't want to, pretty much in that scene, like he didn't want to show off in front of like Thor in that scene.
I don't really see that as being Steve's thing.
I honestly think, well, that's the reason why he could pick it up, because he could do that. So he's worthy. So,
but I don't see why he would feel the need to hide it.
Yeah.
Well, he's humble. Like, he doesn't have to show.
I guess.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess I really have to go back.
Yeah, and go back and watch. Like, go back and watch it. And you know, when he said it in Endgame, I'm like, oh, he knew. Thor knew he could always pick it up. Like, since that scene in the Age of Ultron, since that scene, he knew he could pick it up that whole time. That's why Cap wasn't afraid of, like, actually wielding it and actually, like, pulling it to him. He knew he could do it all that whole time.
I refuse to psychoanalyze 22.
No, but definitely, like...
And then, I mean, obviously you have, like, different writers and different directors that are accomplishing different goals. And like I said, I know the reason why Whedon did it, but the fact that Cap did it, like, picked it up and was, like, using the hell out of it, too. It wasn't just, like...
Yeah.
And the fact that he was going back and forth with, like, Thor in terms of, like, the Stormbreaker and Mjolnir was, like, oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. Fucking awesome. Like, those two things were, like, 100%, like, all I needed from Endgame. Like, I didn't need anything else. Like, everything else was, like, a huge cherry on it, on top.
Well, that's what I wanted. I wanted him to pick up the hammer. That was one of my things. I needed to see him pick up the hammer, but... One thing we didn't see, and something I wanted was Iron Man pulling out proton cannon.
Yeah.
I mean
they didn't have to have him say proton cannon, but at least like develop like a cannon on his like shoulder or something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, because like I watched like Infinity War like the Monday before I watched Endgame, so I can't remember if... I remember he shot, like, a concentrated blast from his hands. Like, he kind of, like, merged them together and made, like, a cannon. I can't remember if that was in Endgame or Infinity War.
That was in Infinity War.
That was in Infinity War, yeah.
Infinity War, okay. Like, I couldn't remember. So, like, I guess that's kind of close to uncanon almost.
Close.
Not quite.
I guess, but you know, it would have been a nice like callback, like to the Capcom game, like because
it would have been like fantastic. Yeah, I agree.
No, because Iron Man, like, I don't know if a lot of people signal Iron Man to that, but Iron Man wasn't this popular before these movies, and you know, people knew Iron Man specifically because of those games too, and his movesets, because of those games. The Marvel Superheroes games and the Marvel vs. Capcom and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, he did have an animated series in the 90s.
Yes, that too. He did. But, like, the majority of people, like, obviously I know, they know the game's movesets. And they, you know, a form of Iron Man there, like, that's their form of Iron Man. So that would have been a great like callback, like, you know, this is pretty much all the fan service you need. That would have been it. That would have been something else, like cherry on top.
Yeah. That would have been like sprinkles on the Sunday that is Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
But yeah, like everything, like I will say, like the audience I was watching with, like when Black Panther, everyone got like excited when Black Panther showed up again. But when Spider-Man like swung in, like everyone just went crazy.
Mm-hmm, same.
I will also say though that when Thor was in New Asgard and they were playing Fortnite, everyone in the theater groaned. Like, as soon as they showed the screen and it was Fortnite, everyone went, ugh. It was so funny. Like, no one was like, yay, or whatever. Like, everyone groaned. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was
amazing. Because I honestly don't really care one way or another. It's like, okay, whatever. I mean, they had fucking product placement for Audi, like, several times, so it's like, whatever. But, like, the fact that, like, everyone groaned was, like, hilarious to me.
Fortnite is just so, I don't know, cringy. No?
I guess that's the thing.
But I never understood why in movies they did like very current games, like if they were playing something, because they're so divisive, you know? You either love it or you probably hate it, you know what I mean?
Not to mention, like, if it's a new game, odds are it'll feel dated within like a year or two.
Exactly. So like Fortnite, like I get why it was added in there. It's like the biggest game in I don't know how many years, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
well
it's just
go ahead, because I was about to go like completely like out of the pretty much left field and out of the park, because we forgot about one other original vendor.
All right, real quick. Yeah, that was just like I said in kind of the intro, like the comedy doesn't usually hit for me on a lot of these movies, and that was literally the only section where I like kind of groaned, which is good, because it was, I mean, it was a pretty small throwaway scene, you know, when it comes down to everything that happened. So like, I'm glad it was only that scene that I didn't really take to, because I enjoyed like all the other comedy like throughout the movie. So go to left field. We're ready.
Well, we forgot about the Hulk.
Yeah, he wasn't interesting to me at all. Like, I thought they would do a little bit more with Professor Hulk, but they really didn't. He became Professor Hulk off camera, and then that's pretty much it. Like, yeah. He didn't really, aside from like being like the other tech guy, helping with the time platform and the time heist thing, he just did nothing for me. Like, I didn't care one way or another, honestly.
Well, you see, my thing with the Hulk was it wasn't that he became Professor Hulk. It was that they didn't show him becoming Professor Hulk. It's like they brushed over it.
It was just like, hey, look.
They brushed over it. And I know some people thought, like, even in my showing, when they finally showed him as Professor Hulk, people were like, what? We're like, well, like, you know. They got like pretty like, wow, like what the fuck happened? Like pretty much. And I guess it could take you out of the immersion of the world. In that sense.
I mean, he explained it in like, you know, a couple of lines of dialogue, but
yeah,
I feel like they should have just shown it once at least.
Yeah. They should have shown at least a struggle between both of them.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a long scene. Just, you know, kind of briefly.
Yeah, that to me, that was the only thing where with the Hulk that felt wrong. The Professor Hulk, I liked. I liked the Professor Hulk. I wish it was Grey Hulk though. Just so they could like show the different like colors, and you know, they were to introduce Red Hulk later, down the line. They could have and explained it, I guess, explained it even further, there. But yeah, I just felt again that the process of him becoming, this, you know, Bruce Banner and the Hulk together, Professor Hulk. We're just gonna say Professor Hulk. becoming Professor Hulk. I just wish they would have showed the process of everything. He was pretty. he was pretty funny, and like you said, the scene with the HO1, that was actually a pretty cool scene. But yeah, I just wish the process was there. That's for me with the Hulk, and his ending there, like his conclusion. And so I guess you see, like for me, I guess that his process of becoming the Hulk, maybe that's going to be explained later on. That's why they held off on it. That's like kind of a thing where I'm wondering if that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a thing. And I know now that his arm is severely damaged because of snapping the Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet. You know, I kind of want to see where they go with that, and kind of want to see if maybe him snapping his finger there actually kills Banner, or pretty much makes them one in general, and they can't mend off. Like, you know, it just has to be explained more. Like, I just need more explanation for him. So that's what I want to. Well, I guess that's what I want to see in the future from him, if he's going to be in the next Avengers movie. Or next whatever Marvel movie. He's one of the characters there that definitely, besides Captain Marvel, that definitely felt weird for me too.
Well, with Hulk, it's a weird situation because technically Marvel doesn't have the full rights to Hulk. So like they can't really do too much in terms of character development. So I think that's kind of why a lot of it is off camera and stuff, but it does feel weird and unfinished. Like again with like Age of Ultron, like the weird relationship between Bruce and Natasha, like nothing ever comes from it again. Like she gives him a look when he comes back, and then that's it. So like it would have been nice to, you know, have a little bit something extra, but I mean, I guess, what can you do?
In terms of just all the characters, you know, the original six hitting the conclusions, I guess we could talk about Tony Stark and his...
Yes.
Yes, and his conclusion and his story. Well, I thought his story was well done. Again, kind of knew, kind of didn't. We always knew it was either going to be Cap or Iron Man that was going to die. But he definitely had a good conclusion in where he was pretty much true to his character in that sense, in terms of actually helping everyone in discovering, you know, time travel. He made it work. And that scene with him and Pepper discussing that he actually got time travel to work, and you know, her telling him that if I, you know, try to stop you from doing this, like you're not gonna rest, so might as well just do it anyways. That's true to his character, in that sense. And yeah, I definitely think his whole overarching, you know, this development overall, definitely it concluded pretty nicely, and he was just great. And yeah, I really don't know what else to say. I just felt his storyline was just perfect. His conclusion was perfect.
Yeah, I think out of everybody's, his easily made the most sense for the type of character he's been for the past how many movies.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I can't say that his death was unexpected, because it was clearly very, very expected.
Well, it was expected once Doctor Strange told him. Pretty much, like, if I tell you, like, is this the future that we win, when Tony Stark was saying?
Yeah, they kind of foreshadowed, yeah.
I, that's true. I didn't even really think about that, but, like, like, even, like, going into this movie, it's kind of like, yeah, you're right. Like, it was either going to be Cap or Tony that was gonna die, and it, I'm glad that it was Tony doing it, sacrificing himself for everyone, and it absolutely makes sense for his character, because, you know, he was pretty much done. Like, it would have been nice to have him, you know, ride off into the sunset, with Pepper and Morgan.
Yes, Morgan. Which is his daughter.
Yes, which I'm going to guarantee you, like, in the next few weeks, everyone's going to start saying, "Love you, 3000.
And it's happening.
I've already started seeing it.
Probably.
I know.
Wrong.
I know. Yeah. It would have been nice to have him, you know, run off into the sunset, but, like, his death is makes sense. I mean, like, he birthed the MCU, and it makes sense that he ends this chapter. And Steve's farewell works for the character too. Like, he didn't die, but, like, he's basically been taken out. And it makes sense.
Well, yeah, that
one thing I would have liked to see in the Avengers movies, though, is I wanted to see Cap get a hard light shield, but that's whatever. Not a big deal, because he lost his shield in Civil War, and I was kind of hoping he'd have a hard light shield in Infinity War or Endgame, but that's fine. The only time that was going to happen, it's fine.
No, for sure there. And, Cap and Iron Man definitely had the best endings in that sense. They had the best conclusions. They definitely had the best conclusions. And, pretty much their conclusions lead, I guess, to the future of what's next in that sense. Yeah, in that sense, what's next? Because, at the very end, Cap does hand off the mantle. Steve Rogers hands off the mantle of Captain America to Sam Wilson. And, Falcon. So that's to me, that was awesome. Definitely the right choice, just because of the actual, you know, the way the characters are in the MCU, compared to their comic counterparts in that sense. So the way how, you know, their development went through. I guess we could talk about that, there. Well, that, you see, we were going to go into favorite moments. That was actually one of my favorite moments in the movie. that part right there, was one of my favorite parts, when he does hand off the mantle. Since we're already here, just in regards to the mantle being passed off, because we really don't see it yet, who do you guys think is gonna really be Captain America in the movie universe? Because we don't actually see it yet. We know the shield's been passed to him, but technically it could still.
It's not going to be him though, right? Because don't they have like a TV show?
Yes, they do have a TV show. Yeah. Yes,
there's a TV show planned called Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Which
Disney has announced things and then changed them right afterwards, because when Civil War was announced, it was originally Captain America, like the Serpent Society, and then they changed it to Civil War. So, I mean, it's possible they could change the name of it to Captain America and Winter Soldier, or, you know, Captain America and Falcon.
Did not think of that.
Or they could keep it as Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and they both kind of go back and forth between being Captain America, which I think would be kind of weird but kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. That would actually be,
especially
cool,
since, like, I don't know, it kind of makes sense for me to have Bucky have the shield, because in Civil War he had it for a little while, like,
that's what I was hoping
with Steve. And Falcon, and Sam has like his Falcon suit, so he kind of already has his thing. But I mean, you know, Whatever. I can go with either one.
Like,
it's great, you know, passing on the mantle, I guess.
Yeah. Sam Wilson is currently one of the Captain Americas. So, not anymore. I know.
I don't think he is currently anymore. But yes, he was for a little bit. Yeah.
For a little bit. So, but just his character in the MCU is definitely the right path for him to get that, for him to get the mantle. Because the way I see it is that Captain America has to be a public figure as well. Now with everybody knowing who Thanos is and just everything that happened in the MCU in general, Bucky being Captain America definitely would ruin the image of Captain America. In that sense, because Bucky was a fugitive in the MCU universe.
But the thing is, though, I mean, he would be wearing a mask in theory, and he's still kind of underground, like not. No, I guess he is known because of the whole Civil War thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my reasoning for why it's perfect, and it actually makes the most sense. The Avengers are now public. Now this, with Thanos the snap, everybody knows about Thanos. The Avengers are definitely public, and you know, Bucky being Captain America, that's gonna be like, what? Like, he just tried to kill pretty much everyone, like, you know. So there's a reasoning behind that move, and it's again, definitely Bucky's been through some shit during his time as in the MCU universe. He's been through some shit. He's been known as a fugitive, and yeah, my reasoning is because of the public eye. Now, now that everything is, I guess, settling back to normal. Well, we don't know that, but. You know, Thanos is defeated. What's next? Well, the Avengers are definitely going to be in the public eye. Definitely. Because they just got people who got snapped and got dusted from 5 years ago to come back into 5 years later. And they're still... Oh, that's another thing. And we were just going into favorite moments, but we'll go for... We'll talk about that in the future there. But in the future of the MCU, yeah, having your setup. But just the whole passing of the mantle, that was one of my favorite moments, in the movie. Another one of my favorite moments was the America's ass thing. That was a good moment.
I love how, like, they kept on, like, everyone kind of played on that as well.
Yeah, that was definitely a good moment. So those were my two favorite moments in the movie.
I mean, if I had to pick a couple of moments, I just love that kind of the whole scene when Captain America does go back and, like, he's in the elevator again. You know what I mean? It just, like, makes you remember when you watch those movies. Like, it just plucked at those nostalgia strings just enough without going overboard on them. I don't know. It was just like a good way to call back to things while wrapping up, you know, such a monumental story, you know? It's hard to pick a favorite scene just because I genuinely liked almost everything about the movie. So just any time they went back, like, I felt like they did all those scenes extremely well. And I feel like those are very easy to mess up, and tons of movies have messed those up. But they just did a solid job.
Your favorite scene is the whole movie. Perfect.
My favorite scene is officially the entire 3-hour movie. Minus the Fortnite scene, so, you know, 2 hours and 57 minutes or whatever.
Well, I've already said what my favorite scene was, so... Yeah, it's fine. I think that... All I could think of that... I guess, like, what we can expect going into the future of the MCU. I mean, clearly they have... three or four TV shows planned... For Disney Plus. Yeah, that is a lot of TV shows. Well, apparently they're going to be more miniseries type of things. Yeah, so they have, again, we've said, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They have WandaVision, which is a terrible name for a fucking show.
Right?
They're probably going to change it.
Which is what... Probably. I mean, apparently she isn't really known as Scarlet Witch, technically, in the MCU. They just call her Wanda. It would be... It would be nice to get have her character have a little bit more. And I was kind of expecting them to bring back Vision at some point. In the movie. Like, have it have, like, White Vision show up. But
not yet. Not yet. Happen. Yeah, not yet.
Hopefully that, I mean, obviously that's going to have to happen in WandaVision unless, like, she whispers more Vision. I don't know. But yeah, like, I would like to see Vision. They have the Loki TV show, which again, with, him disappearing with the Tesseract and the, that one branch of the timeline. I guess that's how they brought him back officially. It should be good because I like Tom Hiddleston Loki, and I think everyone does. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think he's like the one character everyone's like 100% on board with.
Especially after like that was one thing like that Josh Whedon did really, really really well in the first Avengers was like make him a likable character,
mm-hmm.
a character you like to hate, I guess. Well, basically made him charismatic, yeah. And that's why he was such a mainstay in the rest of the series. And then there's a Hawkeye series, which I think it's supposed to be him training his daughter to be a Hawkeye as well. But we'll see about that. I don't know. And then, so yeah, I guess the movies that they're planning, they have officially the only movie that has been announced is Spider-Man Far From Home, which comes out July.
Well, yeah, officially, yes, it comes out July 2nd.
Officially, yes.
July 2nd,
okay.
Yes.
Officially, it's the only thing that's been announced. But there's been casting rumors for the Black Widow movie, which we've referenced several times.
And casting rumors for the Eternals.
Yes, and Eternals as well. Apparently Angelina Jolie and Kumail Nanjiani are supposed to be in it, which has me excited. There's also, I think they just got a director for Shang-Chi, which is... an Asian superhero, which would be fantastic. Yeah. Obviously, they're doing a Doctor Strange 2, because I think the writer-director of the first Doctor Strange is coming back. Hopefully, he takes more of a hint from what the Russos did with Doctor Strange. And I hope they make it a lot better, a lot more enjoyable.
I see where you're coming from there, and I get it too. Just in terms of power sets you're talking about, right? Just in terms of
not power set, just presence. Like it feels like with the Avengers: Infinity War, even in Endgame, like his presence was a lot more concrete. He had like a sense of he was basically kind of like Tony-esque. He was kind of cocky and like knew what he had to do. He kind of got towards like that towards the end of Doctor Strange when he was fighting Dormammu, but I guess once he's a little bit more comfortable in it, I think it'll be better. And that's kind of what I mean. The power set is kind of like whatever, they can fudge that. I mean, they still have a lot more that they can do with Doctor Strange. And apparently Guardians 3 will begin filming at the end of 2020?
Yes.
I think. It'll begin filming, so it probably won't be out until at the earliest, maybe Christmas or November 2021. So.
Yeah, so it looks like, yeah, it looks like, you know, like we're pretty much set for the next, for the next wave of heroes or the next arc. One thing which
just for the next just for the next arc in general, the next phase, so to speak, I kind of want to see what they do with the people who got snapped. Remember, I mentioned that before here. The people who got snapped, remember, they're 5 years younger than people in the current present day now. Like for Spider-Man. So it looks like Spider-Man and his whole friends, you know, just everyone that he knew, actually got snapped. And they're in the same age group as him still. Because technically, if they didn't get snapped, they would have actually been off to college already.
Yes.
So I can't...
And they may have graduated college, depending on how old they were.
Yeah, and I kind of want to see how that plays out.
I kind of feel like they're not going to touch that in Far From Home.
No, they should. They actually should, and I hope they do.
They should, but I feel like they're not going to really touch that. And they're just going to, like, kind of barrel past it. So, who knows? But then again, it'd be interesting because you have Mysterio as the main villain. So, I feel like with Mysterio, they can kind of have his roots from the whole dusting situation.
And again, that plays just like... You know why it's interesting, too? Because 5 years from... Like I said, those people are still young, and Peter's still young, and his other people who didn't get snapped, they probably went off to college or whatever. But remember in Spider-Man Homecoming with... What's his name there? I keep forgetting his name. Donald Glover.
Oh, yeah,
yes, Prowler.
Well,
yes.
He's not Prowler, yes. But he's Prowler.
Yes, but he's Prowler. Now, he mentions his nephew. Now, I wonder if his nephew now is the same age bracket as Peter Parker. Maybe they could introduce Miles.
That would be interesting. I mean, because with the last three Spider-Man big media things that have introduced Miles, it would be a different situation, because it would be Miles would be the same age as Peter.
Yes.
And that would be a unique situation, where you have basically two young Spider-Men, Spider-Dudes, interacting. But at the same time, I kind of feel like Miles would need a mentor.
Well, maybe they could put in Prowler. Maybe they could, like, start it here.
Well, I mean, Prowler is a villain, though, so... Kind of, not quite sure. I mean, I guess you have Fury, so he can kind of help him out. Because Tony was helping out Peter in Homecoming, and I guess Happy as well. So, it's doable. I just kind of was hoping, like, Peter would be a little bit more seasoned before Miles shows up. And it's still possible it can happen. But it'd be kind of cool. Because basically, when Miles originally showed up in the comics, Peter was still a kid. I think he was still in high school or like about to graduate when he died. And then Miles took over. So who knows? Who knows what they want
to
do with that?
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting arc. Just a 5 year later, and seeing how the snap affected, and I'm hoping Spider-Man shows that. You know, that would be interesting just to see how they handle it. Like you guys said, they just might brush it over, it's fine, but that always lingers in my head now. Now that you know, it was mentioned in Endgame. So that lingers in my head. Another thing too, just with the future, you know, they have all these movies coming out, in Phase 4. In terms of villain, who do you think is going to be the next villain? Or would they do an ex-villain? Because I honestly think the right way to go about it would be doing the personal stories again now. The one-shots now.
I mean, I'm sure that's how they're gonna start, I imagine.
I kind of don't feel like they can build up to a villain again. At least not this soon. But I do feel like they have plenty of options. Well, now, especially now that they have, you know, X-Men and Fantastic Four back. I feel like they do have plenty of options when what they want to do for villains. I would like to see Kang the Conqueror show up, because he's kind of, I guess, intertwined with time a lot. There's been like three different versions of Kang. His younger self, known as Iron Lad, his like regular self, and then his future self, known as Immortus. So I feel like having a time-based villain would make sense, considering, you know, how they mucked with the time stream. That would make sense afterwards, but I kind of feel like it should be its own movie and not really build up to it. Or if they build up to it, it should be like in the individual movies, slowly kind of going into it. But nothing like, you know, 3-4 Avengers movies like with the Infinity Saga. That said, they could always, you know, do Doctor Doom.
They could do Doctor Doom like Loki.
That one, they can set it up slowly, because you have to set up Latveria and then Doom himself, and then just kind of have him in the background and stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, like,
There's potential there.
Yeah, I think Doom should be... Oh, they're going to set up a big bad... Set him up like Loki. And make him, I guess, interact with all their movies in some way. Do the setup there. But again, he's like Loki. We're meant to like Doom. Doom is badass. I love Doom as the character. So I would like to see him be played like, I guess, Loki. But even then, not even a bad guy in that sense.
Not like a bad, more of an antagonist than like a villain, yes, basically. Yes. Like he's there. He does what he needs to. He's more of a moral gray ground than like, you know, black and white villain. I guess kind of how Thanos was in Infinity War. Like he had his goal, and just kind of like, this is what needs to happen.
Yeah, so that's how I like kind of want the next big villain. An idea for the future of MCU, maybe doing villain team versus superhero team.
I don't know about. Well, I mean, I wanted like a Masters of Evil to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a few characters that they can pull for that. I'm kind of disappointed that they killed Claw in Black Panther. I would have liked to see Claw. I like Andy Serkis. But allegedly, there's a rumor. Some guy on Twitter apparently called some things out about Endgame back in December. So he's saying that there's a few movies being rumored, and one of the movies is they want to do a Thunderbolts trilogy, which is basically a villain team, and that one's supposed to have Thunderbolt Ross.
Well, it's a villain team masking as heroes while still being villains.
Yes, but then again, there was also like they repurposed the Thunderbolts thing to be rehabilitating villains, kind of like Suicide Squad. But anyway, apparently they want to do like a trilogy of movies. It's supposed to have Thunderbolt Ross, who may or may not become the Red Hulk.
Ghost.
Baron Zemo. Ghost. Justin Hammer. And someone else, I forget. And that's what they have in mind. Again, like I said, I would have liked to see the Masters of Evil show up, or have a Masters of Evil.
Squadron Supreme, maybe.
Squadron Supreme isn't really necessarily an evil team. There's one version of the Squadron Supreme that is from an evil universe.
Well, they always pull that as, like, you know, this is a villain team.
I would like to see the Squadron Supreme get their own movie just so that Marvel can out DC DC, because Squadron Supreme is basically the Justice League.
Yeah. That would be pretty fun. pretty fun to see that. No, that would definitely be a thing that they could do. Even honestly, I think another thing that we're kind of forgetting there is that they got the X-Men rights back, and they got Fantastic Four rights back. Maybe, possibly in the future, maybe the next big movie is going to be X-Men versus Avengers?
I hope not. I don't want a good guy team versus a good guy team.
I think the team way is the only way where, you know, things will actually differentiate themselves. In terms of a set of a big bad, it's just going to be a big group of villains. And that's a, you know, that's a big bad. That's the overarching story, I guess.
I mean, maybe it's a way to introduce the X-Men. Kind of like how Batman vs. Superman should have been. Where, like, there's a miscommunication and they kind of fight it first and they realize they're on the same team at the end. I would be fine with that if there was, like, someone else. But if it's just, like, the comics version of AVX,
that's different, yeah.
But then again, like, they did the MCU version of Civil War was a lot better than the comic version, so it's fine.
And another thing about the future, going back to the X-Men there, with the X-Men, now that time travel is actually into play, I feel like the X-Men should actually be in one of those alternate realities that were opened. Those alternate timelines. I feel like it's the proper way. I know they could introduce mutants, like, after the snap. That could be, one way of, you know, mutants being introduced into the MCU, but I feel like having an alternate timeline where the X-Men are in that alternate timeline doing their own shit. And not, you know, no Avengers being there, but then, an event like the Secret Wars happens. And that's when everything actually mixes together. So X-Men in their own little alternate reality universe. And it's not until, like, a big event like Secret Wars where everybody gets mangled together. And that's how the X-Men get into our MCU that we know and love.
I kind of like that idea. I've heard people say, like, oh, the X-Men should be from another universe. And it's kind of like,
It gives it enough freedom, like, for them to handle the X-Men as, like, a certain way. Fantastic Four could be in our MCU timeline till then, till they actually, like, merge it. But having the X-Men in, you know, the X-Men being that superhero squad in that alternate timeline. Let's say in one of those timelines where the Avengers, you know, where, Hawkeye got the glove back. That's where the X-Men could have appeared. And that's gonna be their timeline. And then they could play around with the X-Men in that timeline. They could explain Magneto. They could explain a lot of things of what went on in that timeline. And then a big event happens, like Secret Wars, and that's where everything gets merged. And that's what we know of the X-Men and what we know of Avengers all get merged. And the MCU becomes a whole, in that sense.
Well, I like the idea of the X-Men kind of being in their own thing, so they don't have to worry about too much about how they interact with the other characters right away. And it gives them time to breathe. And I like the idea of, like, maybe an incursion happening and, like, the two universes kind of combining or something like that. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Because, like, I just want the X-Men done right, finally. That's all I want. I just want the X-Men done right.
Me too.
After all these years. After all these fucking years. But, yeah.
I mean, and I guess that's how we're going to end it off here. We just want the X-Men
done. I just want to, real quick, before we end it, just say that as of May 1st, Avengers Endgame has done $1.6 billion worldwide. $452 million domestically in the U.S., and apparently, if it keeps going as it's going, that's only after 6 days of release. If it's going as it's going, it could possibly get to, I think, 2.2 million in its second weekend, and possibly beat the first Avatar movie. So, it's doing fantastically in the box office. Everyone's watching it multiple times. So, who knows what's going to happen. This is the generation of Star Wars. It really is.
Yes.
But anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Yes, and so that's how we're gonna end it off here. X-Men to be done right, and and Endgame is looking to be Avatar's record there. So that definitely sounds well. That gives the Marvel Universe some confidence there. In terms of producing all these other movies, so.
I mean, not that it I know, needed not, confidence.
Yeah, yeah, but, but you know, like, who would have thought, years ago, seeing Marvel movies becoming so big? Like, even as a kid, like, these things are finally, like, here. Like, they're here and they're alive and, you know, everybody knows about it. It's, before it used to be things that, you know, it used to be nerd stuff, but now here seeing it being such a huge success, it blows my mind just how big these movies are and just the impact on mm-hmm. what they have. So it's definitely good to see here. So yeah, we're gonna end it off on that note, and we're gonna close the vault here. I'm not gonna say floodgates.
We're gonna
close the vault here, and again, guys, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, also subscribe to us on Spotify, on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher TV and the Google Play Store, so definitely check us out there for our latest podcast episodes. So yes, we're closing the gate, and we'll see you next week.
Time out. Open the vault.
Oh, we're opening the vault.
Since this is like the first edition of our movie podcast, our second one will be Detective Pikachu, if I'm right. So yes. Look forward to that probably like a week after it is released. And then from there on out, we'll pick a movie every couple weeks or so that kind of fits in with... you know, pop culture in some way, and then we'll provide that as an additional podcast to our video game podcast.
Yeah, so yes. Definitely check that out there. Definitely forgot all about that there. We reopened the vault here, so so closing the vault again. And that's all, folks.
Yes.
Yes.
See you later.
Catch you on the flip side.